Good morning, church. Good morning. How are you all doing today? Doing good? Okay, is everybody, I have to say, if you're online, maybe you're in a different location, but South Central Pennsylvania, we have had glorious weather the last few. I hope you've been enjoying our like taste of fall and whatnot. And I have to remind her, it is pumpkin spice season officially. So hopefully you had a little bit of your taste. If you did, you can be reminded of me and my love for pumpkin spice. I am Pastor Chris, by the way. If it is your first time with us, first time in a long time, I'm glad that you chose to be here with us. As well as online, we have people from everywhere and anywhere, and friends of friends and relatives. So just a big hello to you for joining us today, or if you're watching this a little bit later. Recently, I don't know about you, I was thinking about this just as I'm preparing for this message. Like, what did we do before the internet? Like, did you remember, like some of us can remember those days, like you can just like go online and like find answers to anything, right? You can find pictures of lots of things. You can investigate. I don't know, I was thinking about that. I'm like, what did we do before the internet? We probably did lots of more meaningful things. But recently I saw this Instagram post, and maybe you've seen something like it. There's all these like little Christian memes things. When you put God first, everything else will fall into place. Maybe you've seen something like that at some point. And I do have to say, my response is, I wish. I wish. The truth is, many people and people who follow Jesus tend to believe something like that. But I dare to say, unfortunately, it's not true. I hate to burst your bubble. It's not true. It's not true. Actually, did you know the sweeping message of the Bible is not that those who follow God will not suffer, that everything will be butterflies and rainbows, everything you'll get that you want, but the story is about people who refuse to let go of faith in the midst of suffering and trials. That's really what the story of Scripture teaches us. And so what we're going to talk about today is this fact that truthfully, in reality, when you devote your life to God, it doesn't eliminate hardship. In fact, serving God faithfully can make us a target for hardship and suffering. So kind of like chew on that for a second. If things get difficult, don't we usually tend to believe that, okay, it must not be God's will. It's really hard, sometimes there are situations that you may not be when things get hard, when things fly in your face. But I want to propose another idea, is that sometimes when we are taking a path and we believe that this is what is faithful to God, this is what's following God, but then when things go wrong, it might actually be evidence that you are on the right path, not the wrong one. So hold on to that concept, because we're in this series, In the Fire. I'm unpacking the first six chapters of the book of Daniel in the Old Testament scriptures, and this is the last week, so if that makes you sad, if it makes you happy, we move on to something new next week. But the book of Daniel is really the context we've been unpacking over the last few weeks, is that it takes place in Babylon. So imagine this is like 600 years before Jesus, 600 or so BC, and Babylon is this dominant superpower in the ancient world. Like, they got it going on. They conquer people left and right. And so they do so in 605 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian crew, they invade Jerusalem. They invade Judah. They go and they burn everybody's house down. They ransack the temple. They take things over. They demolish it. They set it all on fire. They destroy Solomon's temple. They destroy all the holy things that the Jewish people had at that time. They destroy the faith symbols. They take some of the most precious goods and they take them back to Babylon with them. They mock God. They mock faith. And then we have evil King Nebuchadnezzar, who then has an idea of taking all the smartest and the brightest, especially the children, back with him to Babylon, 900 miles away to the east. And he wants to take them to be servants in his kingdom. And actually, he does that a lot with all the people that he conquers. He takes them and he brings them back into his kingdom, and it makes him stronger in that way. But you have to think about it, though, that King Nebuchadnezzar, as we've talked about over the course of several weeks, as big and powerful and dominant and superpower that he is, and his authority with the Babylonians that take over and burn down everything, he's not the main character in the book of Daniel. He's not. He's big and powerful and bold, and he has everything that he wants. He's not the main character in the book of Daniel. Who is the main character in the book of Daniel? Who do you think? I hear mumbling. There's mumbles. God. So we go to Daniel next, right? Don't we usually say, well, Daniel's, of course, it's named after him. Well, the main character in the book of Daniel is God. It's actually God. And we're going to see that this week. We're going to see that truth this week in Daniel chapter 6, which is one of our favorite Sunday school stories, Daniel and the lion's den, the lion's den. So how many of you know that story? Like, raise your hand if you heard it. If you didn't, that's okay. Online, you can like type in, yes, I've watched that story or heard that story. I visited Sight and Sound last year and saw that story come to life. It's a very powerful Old Testament Bible story. And if you grew up in Sunday school learning this story, those of you that didn't, you didn't really miss out on anything except for the flannel graph, or if you're my generation, like the sticky characters, right? You can buy these on Amazon. You have all the like the little characters, and there used to be these things called like flannel boards that had like Velcro or whatever that you would stick these like hand-cut or drawn little characters to, and then your Sunday school teacher would like tell you the story, moving them around. Like now everything's like digital and whatnot, right? But you can buy these things on Amazon, and other churches might have had. You might have had the finger puppets, right? Like Daniel comes along and then there's lions and all that stuff. Or you might have had the real hand puppets. I don't know what your story is. It's okay. Any and all of it. But we're going to do Daniel and the Lion's Den. And so I'm going to like tell a synopsis, just the Cliff Notes version of this story real quick. So we're going to put him up there. We need who? Daniel, right? There's Daniel, right? And then, of course, we need some lions. There's a cave. Okay. That's my cat. Rawr, right? Here, kitty, kitty. No, that's the real lion. Okay, let's put the real lion up there. So here, kitty, kitty, kitty. And then how does the story end? All of the people that have heard this story or watched the Sight and Sound version before, does Daniel die or does God save him from the lions? God saves him. Yay. There, kitty, kitty, kitty. Takes a little nap with his little furry friend there, right? Isn't it great? And that's important because we're really going to unpack that in a little bit. So I want you to just like sit on this idea for a second, going back to that Instagram post that I just related to some of the thoughts we've been going through. So fire or lions, whatever you're facing, it doesn't always mean that you're walking wrong. It may actually mean that you're walking with God. That whether you're facing fire or lions, it doesn't always mean that you're walking wrong. Sometimes it does, and you gotta explore that. But you're being faithful to God, it may mean that you're walking with God. And my message for you today is to keep walking. Is to keep walking. Because if you go back to the story of Daniel and the lion's den, most of the time when we're taught in like a Sunday school class, the Sunday school version of Daniel, we see this like really cool young dude with faith in God. Don't we usually like picture Daniel as this young man? Well, the truth is, Daniel was an old, cool dude. He was an old, cool dude. He was probably in his 80s at this point. So think of like somebody in their 80s. When you recognize this, it actually makes the story more meaningful today. And I'm going to show you why. That Daniel, at this time, this is 60 years he's been in Babylon. 60 years since he was a young boy. He was taken away. And Daniel, he had a lot of wisdom. He also went to the bathroom 4 to 5 times a night. But what's powerful is that in his 80s, so for those of you guys in your 80s, the good news is God is not done with you. In his 80s, Daniel had actually served under 4 different kings, 4 different regimes, 4 different kings at the time. So first, Nebuchadnezzar. The one that we talked about for several weeks, you know, his dreams, that kind of stuff. So everybody gets one boo. Ready? Boo! Yeah, but Nebuchadnezzar, he's the evil. Like, he just destroyed people, did what he wanted. And then last week, we talked about another king, King Belshazzar, who was actually Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. His father kind of co-ruled with him for a season. And then if you remember the writing on the wall, the story about that last week, we talked about how he was assassinated at the end of that. Not very a happy ending for him. And then you have this king that came in named Darius. Darius. And we're going to look at King Darius today. He was an administrative genius. And later, Daniel actually lived discerned under King Cyrus, who was actually the Persian king that Daniel had predicted all the way back in chapter 2 would come and conquer Babylon. Remember, there was that dream of that statue and all the gold and the silver, and Daniel's like, hey, these are the kingdoms that are coming. Each one's going to fall after it, right? Well, that's what happens, is that the Persian king comes and conquers Babylon. But Daniel's age, going back to that, it matters. Because in 6 to 7 decades of captivity, Daniel lived out and shared his faith with all four kings. He lived out and shared his faith with all four kings. It's interesting, we don't have any records that he called them stupid or demonic, even though some were actually. Daniel consistently and lovingly lived out and shared his faith. And he influenced these kings, all of them, without compromising his beliefs. Without that. And so I want to say it again, like with love and faithfulness and consistency is how Daniel made a difference. But of course, we saw, and we will see, that it doesn't always go right. Just because Daniel does the right thing doesn't mean everything always goes his way or goes in a good way. And we'll see that now because we're ending at the narrative end of the portion of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. And Daniel chapter 6 starts out with this scripture, starting in verse 1. Follow along your sermon notes if you're so inclined. It seemed good to Darius, remember he's the new king, to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom. They're kind of like servants, leaders, administrators, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom. And over them, 3 commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps wouldn't be accountable to them and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this, Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. So Daniel, 80 years old about in this story, he's become one of the leaders, one of the 3 commissioners because the king has appointed him that. And so just a quick second, the word that means distinguished. So in verse 3, Daniel began distinguishing himself. The Hebrew word that's then translated in English as distinguish, is this Hebrew word midnasa. Midnasa. Can you guys say that with me? Midnasa. Midnasa. This is the only time that this Hebrew word is used anywhere in the Bible. This is the only time it appears. And it means to excel, to stand out. And he stood out because he served with such faithfulness. The king saw that and was like, you need to be promoted, Daniel. He served with all his heart. He served with such faithfulness, midnasa. And I think just a reflection on that, I think like as believers, as those of us who follow God, who for us follow Jesus, that wherever we work, whatever we do, whether we love the job or we hate it, wherever you serve, wherever you're located, whatever you post online, should midnasa. That we should stand out, that we should be distinguished in a good way. We should demonstrate faithfulness in how we treat people and what we do with our anger, right? In how we offer others grace. That's midnasa. That's Daniel right there. And so here's Daniel doing a good job, being midnasa, getting all the attention. And Darius is like, he's a really good leader, right? He may be old, but he's still got it, right? He's still trucking away. He's still got it on. And of course, there's other commissioners. There's 120 satraps that are reporting to him. Daniel's getting all the attention. I don't know if you've ever been or had someone in one of your classes who has been like teacher's pet. Well, that seems to be a little bit of what Daniel looks like. And so these other people, did they like Daniel? No. They're jealous. They're jealous of him doing the midnasa, the good job, the standing out, the faithfulness. And so what do they try to do? Well, they try to do the very same thing that goes on today. They tried to get him canceled. Like we have this thing called cancel culture. We just like get rid of people, write people off, throw them away, don't talk to them, get them out of the way. Like that's what we do. Like goes back like 600 years before Jesus. Like this is a long time, like 2,600 years ago. Like that's a long time this has been going on. And they try to do that to Daniel. And so the story continues. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, as much as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We'll not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. Let's get him there." Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. "King Darius, live forever," right? Gotta start out that way. "All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials, the governors, have consulted together." No, they didn't. They're making this up. "That the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. So therefore, King Darius, sign the document," that is, the injunction. So think about this. The attacks come for Daniel because he's doing the wrong thing or the right thing? The right thing. He's doing the right thing, and he sees people that don't like him doing that, and so what do? They set out to, like, destroy him and attack him. Like, that happens. Like, when we are faithful, there will be situations and people and places that come and attack us. There will be things that don't go well, that become even increasingly difficult because we are doing the right hard thing, being faithful. So a couple of notes as we continue through this story. I want to look at how that applies to us as well as in what happens with Daniel. So the first thing, when we face opposition and we face attacks, the first most important thing is looking at the story is that we serve God with integrity. We continue to serve God with integrity. We're facing opposition. We serve God with integrity. We, just as we did in chapter 1 of Daniel, we make a choice. We make a choice. See, these other people were looking for something wrong. And it says they couldn't find it. They had to make it up. They had to make it up, right? The commissioners target him. And so what do? They go to his faith and they say, "Well, we're going to make a decree against prayer. And then if, like, you worship anybody except for the king and you do that, we're going to throw you in the lion's den." You know, sounds a lot like the fiery furnace story with Daniel's friends. Very similar, right? But when they go lower, when they stoop down, this is good for us to remember, friends. When they stoop down, Daniel goes higher. When they go low, that's when Daniel chooses to go higher. Instead, to serve God with integrity and to keep doing so. Because I don't know about you, but getting even with someone, you know what it makes you? Even. It makes you even. It makes them sink low just like they are. The same way that they're doing that. So Daniel, in this story, he has three options, right? This decree goes out. It's like anybody that doesn't worship, you know, it doesn't, does only praise to the king. That's the only thing you should do. If you worship anything else, you're going to the lion's den. With that choice, Daniel had three options, right? First, like, he could, number one, he could stop praying. He could just take a month off, right? Like, we do that. You know, I'll just take a month off and then I'll come back to it, right? It's only 30 days. Like, what? That's okay. Number two, his second option, he could kind of do the pray silently thing, right? Like, nobody will know it. I'll just do it in secret thing. Like we talked about with the story of the fiery furnace. Like Daniel's friends, they could have just worshiped God in their hearts, sang Chris Tomlin songs in their hearts, like just very secretly. Like, nobody has to know it, right? He can still do it. Or his third option was he could keep praying. He could keep praying. And so what did he do of those three options? He kept praying. Daniel prays. And I think that brings us to the second point here, that when we face opposition, when we face attacks, is that we have to trust God with consistency. We have to trust God with consistency. So we see Daniel's reaction. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house, now in his roof chamber. He had windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. Trust God with consistency. So for Daniel, it's very interesting. This was not a panic prayer. You know what a panic prayer is? Like, please, God, save me. Like, it's my last thing to do, right? He did what he had always done. He'd been praying for a long time. But why does that matter? Well, I think it does matter because it's not what we do occasionally that makes all the difference. It's what we do consistently. It's what we do consistently that makes a difference. There is a difference between being an occasional person and being a consistent person. So think for a second. What happens if, say, you want to train for a marathon, but you only run occasionally? What happens on the day of the race? You die. Well, not probably literally. So what about rock climbing, right? You're like, I want to do rock climbing. You go out twice, maybe once, and then you're going for like the big cliff thing. What happens in that case? Like you, something bad happens, right? Okay, what about your car, right? What if the little red lights flash on the dash a couple times? And you know, what is an occasional oil change versus a consistent oil change? What happens? Like the car doesn't start. What if you only occasionally talk to your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend versus consistently? Like, they might not be happy campers, right? What you do before the fire and before the lion's attack that matters the most. It's what you do consistently that matters. And so I think for us, we have to remember that in faith, we'll never be consistently strong in the spirit and living faithfully or being able to quench the fiery darts that are thrown at us if we only seek God occasionally, if we only throw up the panic prayer every now and then. Like, it doesn't work that way. You know, we can't expect the word of God to speak if we only, like, maybe hear it once a month in church, right? No wonder why it doesn't make sense. I mean, people can't, like, learn Spanish or French that way, right? If you only listen for an hour or so a week. We fellowship with other believers, right? The importance of that. In worship, we're going to have table groups that are starting in just a week or so. That relationships require what? Consistency. Having relationships with others and our relationship with God, it requires consistency. And when you don't have Christian fellowship, and I'll speak to this from experience, maybe you can too. When you don't have Christian fellowship and the fire comes, you know what happens? You burn up. You fall apart. You fail. You keep going in your own direction. We're the people of God and we gather together with the body of Christ, and that's who we are. It's not what we do occasionally that makes the difference in all these areas of life. It's what we do consistently. So Daniel's first response to the decree, right? The law that goes out, is it to cry? Is it to throw a fit? Does he go on social media and write a tirade? No, what does he do? He prays. The first thing he does is pray. And the scripture talks about this. He says, how did he pray? Did you remember anything in that from verse 10? How did he pray? Was he standing up? He was kneeling. He was kneeling. And so for those of us that would say, like, we're ADHD when it comes to prayer, like, you're like, oh, thankful God. And then you're like, squirrel, what time is the game today? What do I have to buy at the store? Like, all those things kind of go. Like, sometimes a posture puts us into the right position. I know this for myself. It may feel weird, like, you know, the whole kneeling by your bedside thing. But sometimes putting our bodies into that specific position, when life gives us more than we can stand, maybe it's time to kneel. There's something very powerful about that, about kneeling, about submitting ourselves, which is in bodily form, as well as in our mind and emotions and in our spirit, and submitting ourselves to God. And that's when the attacks come, when opposition comes, that we continue to serve God with integrity. And then we trust God with consistency. We don't give up on those things that we know continue us in that relationship. But then there's a third thing. Is that we honor God with faithfulness. That when we are attacked, when there are things that are thrown our way, that are said about us, done to us, we honor God with faithfulness. So you all know the Ford Motor Company, right? It makes cars. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Henry Ford, Mr. Ford, you know, started that company. When Mr. and Mrs. Henry Ford, the founders of the Ford Motor Company, when they celebrated their 50th anniversary, a reporter asked them, to what do you attribute your 50 years of successful married life? Well, Mr. Ford responded. He said, "The formula," he said, "is the same formula I've always used in making cars. Just stick to one model." Just stick. Right. I hate to say that. Kind of sexist, right, in that way. But there is a truth to say, like, but when we stick, when we are faithful, then we can expect faithfulness from the other, right? Like, faithfulness means doing our part of being faithful, of saying, hey, well, I'm not going to go and do my own thing or whatever. Like, I am going to choose to be faithful and allow the other person to be faithful. And I think that's the same thing for us, right? Like, that one day when we stand before God, what we want to hear are those words, "Well done, my good and what? Faithful servant." What you won't hear is, "Well done, my good and important servant, my wealthy servant, my never rock the boat servant," right? Like, that's not the thing. It's that about being faithful, about being faithful to the one that no matter what, once again, going back to the fire, being thrown into the fire, if our God saves us or not, we will be faithful. I'm going to choose to be faithful. And Daniel, through four different kings, in a foreign land, 900 miles from home, having been ripped from his home, his life completely burnt up, he remained faithful. And for him, right, it didn't matter what they did. I don't know who your they is. It didn't matter what the king did. It didn't matter what the people he worked with did. It didn't matter what the people he oversaw did. It didn't matter what the astrologers said or the people that were advisors to the king. Or it didn't matter any of that. That he honored God with faithfulness. Just say, "I'm going to remain faithful no matter what. I'm sticking to the one true God," right? I'm sticking to him. I'm honoring God with faithfulness. But then the last piece I think we have to remember when we're facing opposition, when we're under attack, is that we have to rely on God for the outcome. Rely on God for the outcome. See, so often, isn't it true, we try to take things in our own hands. We want to fight back. We want to get even. But there comes a point that we have to realize we need to allow God to fight our battles for us, especially in those concerns, especially when we are doing the right thing, when we are on the path to say, "I know I need to do this. It's hard. It's awful. I need to rely on God for what comes next, for the outcome." So for Daniel, when he's in this situation, when he's praying and then he's taken, thrown into the lion's den, did he die or did God save him? God saved him. But of course, he didn't know that at this point. He didn't know this story. I mean, very well, the story could have ended. The lions ate Daniel and there was blood everywhere, right? Like, it's hard to make finger puppets or flannel graph with that, right? They're just, I don't know, teach our children, children have nightmares. Daniel's dead, right? It's awful. But we know that that's not the case. That's not the story. And King Darius, we're told beforehand, he likes Daniel. He thinks he's doing a great job. But then he's trapped, right? He needs to follow the thing that he's put out to the law. He's got to throw Daniel in the lion's den. And we're told that this, by the scripture, that he's worried. He actually tells Daniel, "I hope and pray that your God saves you." And of course, that night, after Daniel's put in with the lions, the king couldn't sleep. He's worried. He's worried about what's going to happen to Daniel. So first thing in the morning, he gets up, he runs to the den, and this is what happens. "Then the king arose at dawn, at the break of day, and went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come near to the den, to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?' And then Daniel spoke to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me. Here, kitty, 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 right? Inasmuch as I have found innocent before him, and also towards you, O king, I've committed no crime.' And the king was very pleased. He gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. And so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God." And the story continues. "So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian." So there's a part of me, if you read this, like, you're like, Darius could have done something. The king could have done something. He had power and authority to do something, and he didn't. He didn't have to send Daniel and this unjust law that was put up. He didn't have to do that, but he did nothing. He hopefully learned from this to say, you know what? I can't just listen to the powers that be, the people that want all these things to be done, like to take into consideration his power and authority. But then I do have to say, what he does do is that not only does he throw a party when Daniel is saved, but he does turn from it and he throws it back in the satraps and the commissioners' faces by making this God, the one that Daniel had turned to, the one that Daniel that had saved Daniel, he turns back and he says, no, this is the God, right? This is the God who our kingdom is going to look to, to know that he is legitimate, and no longer will anyone be thrown in the lion's den. And see, we have to consider too that plenty of other people in the Bible had the same amount of faith that Daniel had, but for whatever reason, God didn't rescue them. There are many other stories of prayers not being answered, of God's faithfulness looking a little bit different than what was expected. See, because I think you and I can relate that what we're not talking about here is a Disney movie. We're talking about real life. But even in the midst of that, the only promise that we really have regardless is that we can trust God with the outcome. That we, our part is to do the right thing, to be faithful, to serve God with integrity and consistency, to do those things. But the last part is not in our hands to decide. And sometimes it does not turn out the way exactly we would like. But we can trust God with the outcome. I think Daniel was terrified. I think he was disappointed in Darius. And that's the thing, we can be, friends. It doesn't mean that those feelings of being terrified go away or disappointed in people go away. And we will be when we face opposition. But who is the main character in the book of Daniel? God. He's the main character. And he's the main character in every book in the Bible. Every story in the Bible points to God. And for us as Christians, points to Jesus. To Jesus as the one true God, as the Son of God. God in human flesh. And friends, what's so rich and meaningful and emotional to me is that this story, it foreshadows the story of Jesus. See, because just like Daniel, there would be people who conspired against Jesus. Just like Daniel, there would be people who would set traps for Jesus. Just like Daniel, he would be stabbed, Jesus would be stabbed in the back by and betrayed by people who were closest to him. See, just like Daniel, Jesus was falsely accused by his enemies. But just like Daniel, Jesus was condemned to die a very violent death. And just like Daniel, he was put into a cave that was sealed that no human could intervene. And just like Daniel, Jesus walked out of the cave alive and rose from the dead because that's how good our God is. But friends, we don't get to choose the end of the story. He does. It means trusting in him for the outcome, knowing that it will be right and true and worthwhile. But fire and lions don't always mean that we're walking wrong. It may actually mean that we're walking with God. So our role, keep walking. Keep walking. Instead of giving up, instead of turning from faith, instead of going and doing your own thing, instead of, oh, I don't care, like to keep walking. It may not mean that you're walking wrong. It may mean that you're walking right. When the opposition comes, when there are attacks, when everything feels like it's falling apart, don't give up on that path. And that goes for whether you're in recovery or there's a relationship in your family or relationship that's being healed or that it's your work situation or financial situation or it's the burdens of the world that you look around and in our country and you see things and you're like, I don't know what to do. It's like, keep walking and you keep being faithful. Let's trust God with the outcome. I'm doing my part though. That's our responsibility. We do our part, but we have to let God do his part. And as spiritual exiles, choosing what's right is not usually the easier decision. See, when you do what's right, we can trust God with what happens. He is faithful. And if nothing else, we come out on the other side tested and true. And we have a story of how we saw God at work redeeming things because we trusted it with him. So friends, as we wrap up this message, we wrap up this story, I want to remind you that if you're in a fire right now, or in a lion's den, or under an attack, God is in your story too. God is not done. And you may be 80-something, you may be 14, you may be somewhere in between there, but if you're in a fire or under an attack, God is in your story too. Let's pray.